For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, Discernment, as we pick up in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
Paul tells us in Romans chapter 1, that it was when man did not want to retain God in his mind, God gave him over to a mind that was empty of God. Because they didn't want the truth of God, then God allowed them to believe a lie. Here the same thing is declared. They don't want to believe the truth, so what does God do? He says, all right, you don't want to believe the truth, then go ahead and believe the lie. And he allows them to be deceived into believing a lie. Now, as a child of God, God won't let you believe a lie. God's Spirit will warn you. I'm thrilled when some of these new babes in Christ come to me and they say, Chuck, I was watching someone on TV the other day, but it just didn't seem right to me. All right, Lord. You won't let him believe the deception and the lies that these guys are coming off with. And I think, oh, great. But you know, there are some people that seem to fall for every gimmick that comes down the road. They have a penchant towards false doctrine. They have a desire almost to just gobble up anything, you know, that comes along. Any new weird tangent or doctrine that comes by, oh, there they go traipsing after it, you know. They just seem to have a total lack of discernment. And that's hurtful. As a pastor, that's probably one of the most hurtful things, to see your little sheep, you know, following after a lie, after a deceiver, after a fraud. But one of the most rewarding things for a pastor is for someone to come and say, you know, I was, you know, just watching this fellow, and it just, something's wrong there, Chuck. I don't know. I can't tell you what it is. Something's wrong. Ah, yes, you know. Paul said, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brothers, beloved of the Lord, because God from the beginning has chosen you to salvation. Hey, this is interesting. From the beginning, God has chosen you, he said, for salvation. Here again, this interesting doctrine that Paul taught in his book to the Ephesians is taught here again, where he said, you were chosen in him from the foundations of the world. Isn't it exciting that of all the people, God chose you to be his child? That's so thrilling to me. Last night, for a little while, Kay and I were watching a documentary on Channel 28, I think it was, of some of the Indian tribes down in the Amazon area of Brazil and some of their practices, the various rituals that they have for the various gods that they worship. And we were quite fascinated from a cultural, sociological kind of a standpoint of watching these people in the various religious rituals that they went through. Naked, all of them, superstitious. And Kay said, for the grace of God, we could have been born in that tribe. And, oh my, I guess you're right. Ooh, thank you, Lord. For God chose you from the beginning unto this sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. The word sanctification is to be set apart. God has chosen you to be set apart from the world, to be set apart as an instrument through which the Spirit of God might work. From the beginning, God chose you. That thrills me. And because he chose you, then he called you by our gospel, by our declaring to you the good news, actually, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate, and those who he predestinated, he also called, and those he called, he also justified, and those he justified, he also glorified, as Paul follows the same progression of thought in the 8th chapter of Romans. First of all, chosen in him. And because you were chosen, God called you. The Spirit of God reached out and touched your heart, made it open to the things of God, made it receptive to the things of God. How thrilling that God should choose us, and then, having made us receptive, then called us so we could hear the call and respond, that we might be the children of God, set apart by the Spirit. Here you are, my children. You know, I don't appreciate it so much until I talk to people who seem to have absolutely zilch as far as spiritual comprehension or understanding, or even interest. Not interested. And I think, oh, what a shame, what a tragedy. Their voice is totally closed to the gospel. I mean, their ear is totally closed to the gospel. No interest, no concern. How is it that I'm so interested? How is it that I'm so concerned? Because God chose me and God called me. And so I rejoice in that I've been chosen. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. You're going to go through persecution. You're having tribulations. But stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by our words or our epistles. Those things that I have taught you, those truths that I have taught you, hold on to them. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. So Paul's little benedictory type of prayer for them at this point, that God would comfort them and establish them in the word and in the work. Finally, brethren, pray for us. Now, again, Paul is calling for prayer for him. I think that maybe sometimes we are guilty of not praying for those in spiritual leadership, feeling they've got it made. Far from the truth. Those who are in the position of spiritual leadership really have probably greater trials, greater temptations than the average person. Satan, I think, works harder against spiritual leadership. How many pastors have fallen into the snare of the devil? Because, you see, if Satan can snare a pastor, then the repercussions go through the whole congregation. Many people are hurt. So the pastor needs prayer. Pray for us, Paul said. I would say the same to you. Pray for me. I need your prayers. For what? That the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. That God's word might just come forth freely from us. That we would remain faithful to the word of God and to the truth of God. People often ask me, what can I pray for you? And I answer, pray that God will keep me usable. Paul the Apostle said, I beat my body to keep it in subjection, lest having preached to others, I be put on the shelf. If we don't keep our body in subjection, We can be put on the shelf very easily. So many ministers have been destroyed by pride or by greed or by lust. They let the body get the best of them and they become destroyed, no longer usable. It's my prayer that I will remain usable. I have only one purpose for living, one main purpose for living, and that's to do the work of the Lord, that which God has called me to do. Pray for us that God's word may have free course and he be glorified through his word, even as you have experienced the power of God's word in your life, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not the faith. And that's one of the problems of ministry, is some of the unreasonable people that you have to deal with. And what happens is that they can waste your time. Totally unreasonable. They really don't want to reason. They just want to throw their trip on you. And they become so demanding and so pushy. Paul says, pray that God will just deliver me from unreasonable men. For not everybody has the faith. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and keep you from evil. The Lord is faithful, and God will establish your walk and your life, and God will keep you from evil. He is faithful. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, Paul said. What is it? That you both do and will do the things which we command you. I have this confidence that, you know, you're going to obey the instructions and the exhortations in this epistle. I just have that confidence. I know. And that the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Other commentators and translators translate this into the patience of Christ. But that the Lord will direct your hearts in the love of God. How we need God's love to be working in our hearts and lives more and more. For all of our efforts, all of our works, all of our sacrifices, all of our gifts, all of our anointings are of no value if the love of God isn't there working through it. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, it's just a meaningless, empty sound. Though I can prophesy, I understand all mysteries. If I have not love, it's worthless. Though I give my body to be burned, or I sell everything I have and bestow it on the poor, if I have not love, it really profits me nothing. Oh, may the Lord cause his love to abound in our hearts. Direct our hearts into the love and into the patience of Christ. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now this becomes very serious when you start commanding people in the name of Jesus. It's the way you deal with demons. That you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walks disorderly and not after the truths which you have received from us. Now, Paul is commanding them that you really separate yourselves from the disorderly brothers. When Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, he said that we're not to have fellowship with those who are drunkards, who are committing fornication, who are living after the flesh, who claim to be brothers in Christ. He said, you can't just exclude yourself from, you know, mixing with everyone who does these things. In other words, you live in the world, you can't get out of that. But with those who say they are brothers, don't eat with them, don't fellowship with them if they are walking disorderly. He He is saying now the same thing, only commanding them in the name of Jesus, that you withdraw from these disorderly people. For yourselves know how that you ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. And so there were those who were coming in after Paul who were creating divisions and all. And Paul said, withdraw from them. These guys are teaching you junky stuff. Withdraw from them. They're not following the teachings that we gave to you. Now follow after those things that we taught you. For we taught you the truth through the Holy Spirit. And neither did we eat any man's bread for nothing. We set an example for you, and the pastor should be setting an example for the flock, but a good example to be sure. I heard of this one pastor who, with his deacon, decided to go hunting one day. And so they got in their pickup, and they had the guns on the racks in the back, and they drove for several hours out into the country. And when they got out there, they found the whole area posted closed. And they said, oh, man, what a shame. We've driven all this distance and the whole place is posted closed. The deacon said, well, there's only one possibility of hunting today, and that would be over in Farmer Brown's property. But I hear that he is the meanest guy in the whole county. Everybody stares clear from him. Well, the pastor said, well, we've come this far. I'll tell you what, I'll go up to the door and I'll ask him. He said he can't do any more than refuse us. So he went up to the door and knocked, and the farmer came to the door and said, hi, I'm Pastor Jones, and my deacon and I came out this morning, drove all the way out here, decided we'd do a little hunting, but we found every place closed. He said, do you suppose it would be possible that we could hunt on your property? And the farmer said, Pastor Jones, he said, what a joy to see you. He said, I've been listening to you on the radio and been so blessed by your ministry. He said, honey, Pastor Jones is here. Can you believe that? He said, oh, hey, it would be a privilege for me to have you hunt on my property. It would be a blessing. He said, would you do me a favor? He said, the horse out there in the corral, the vet just went away and said, I've got to kill him. He said, would you mind shooting the horse for me before you go? The pastor said, no, I'll be glad to do that. And so as he went back to the truck, he decided that he'd play a trick on his deacon, sort of tease him a bit. And he said to the deacon, boy, you know, the stories we heard about that guy are true. That has to be the meanest, orneriest fella I have ever met in my life. In fact, the things that he said to me have me boiling so inside. I don't know. He said, I've got to do something. He said, I just can't. He said, I've got to get rid of this pressure. He said, I'm just going to explode. He said, give me my gun. And he took his gun and he aimed at the horse and shot it, and the horse fell over, you know. And he turned around to see the shocked expression of his deacon when he hears bam, pow. And the deacon says, I got two of his cows, preacher. Let's get out of here. Now, Paul says, be followers of me, but that's to a point. Paul said, I didn't eat any man's bread for naught. In other words, I didn't sponge off of any of you. I didn't come in and eat your bread. I didn't come in and inflict myself upon you and say, all right, now take care of me, feed me. I didn't come in and tell you that God was broke and going out of business if you didn't send your tithes and offerings in this week. We didn't eat any man's bread for naught, but we worked, we labored, and we travailed night and day that we would not be chargeable to any of you, that we wouldn't be dependent upon any of you. Not because we do not have the power to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. In other words, as an apostle, as bringing you the the word of God, the ox that treads out the corn is not to be muzzled. Paul wrote to the Galatians to communicate to those who taught them in the word in every good thing. But Paul said, I wasn't chargeable to you. Not that I didn't have the power, but I just wanted to set an example for you. I wanted to set this kind of an example of working to provide for my own needs, that it might be an example to you that you might follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by the Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness you go to work and you eat your own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Again, in another place, Paul said, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. It is easy sometimes to become weary in doing good, especially if we don't see any effects or any results, any fruit from it. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, mark that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet, don't count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. The salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is the token of every epistle, so I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And so Paul signifies that this, his signature, attested to the veracity, the truth of this letter being from him. Follow it, obey it, and the teaching that he had given. Great epistle.
Have you ever wrestled with questions about your relationship with God? In his book, Six Vital Questions of Life, Pastor Chuck looks at six life-changing questions asked by the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans and reveals the powerful biblical answers behind them. With clear teaching and practical insight, Pastor Chuck shows how these questions speak directly to our lives today, helping us better understand God's grace, his purpose, and his plan for every believer. If you've ever struggled with doubt, wondered about your standing with God, or simply want a deeper understanding of your faith, this encouraging book will reassure you and strengthen your walk with the Lord. Discover how God's truth can transform your life. Order Six Vital Questions of Life today at twft.com or call 1-800-272-9673. That's 1-800-272-WORD. Six Vital Questions of Life, biblical answers to strengthen your walk with God. Now here's Pastor Chuck.
Now may the Lord be with you and cause you to abound in all things in Christ. The love of God might increase in your hearts and in your lives as God establishes you in the faith and in your walk with him. God be with you and God bless and keep you. During the time that we are absent from one another, may God enrich you through his Spirit in all things in Christ Jesus.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of 1 Timothy on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of the Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673. Or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning 2 Thessalonians 2 through 3. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today.
Little country church.
This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.